This podcast is brought to you by the Thomas David Salon. Thomas David Salon is one of Southern Delaware's premier full-service salons. It's the best. Voted the best 18 years in a row. Located in the upscale Painters Mill Shopping Center. Located in where? Luton, Delaware. 98th floor of the Rehoboth Social Podcast Tower. Huddled next to a pond. You will be treated to an amazing experience by one of Thomas David's highly trained and super friendly stylists, from a haircut to a color and even waxing. Thomas David's welcoming environment has you covered. To make an appointment, call 302-827. Can I get the metronome? 302-827-2466.
This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Want the blood.
Want the blood.
You have abandoned your child.
I've abandoned my child.
I will never backslide.
I will never backslide.
I was lost, but now I am found.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
I have abandoned my child. Say it. Say it.
I abandoned my child.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my boy!
Beg for the blood!
Just give me the blood, Eli. Let me get out of here. Give me the blood, Lord! And let me get away!
Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Get out of here, devil! Out, devil! Out, sin!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Film Effect. You are here with me, and I have a friend that I do another podcast on with me. He's trying to talk. Go ahead, Tom.
Good evening.
Tom is here. Tom is one of the members of the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network, the creator.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm professional, Tom, today.
You are professional. Well, we're going to get into it, but...
Well, we're trying not to get silly.
It's okay. We can get silly. I just wanted to present you to my audience.
Hello.
And also say that you should also listen to all of the shows on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. And yep. I'm not going to get into what they are. Just go there.
No, we had a meeting yesterday.
Yeah, tell me.
And the meeting was, you don't have to get into all of those. Just say, you know, please check out our podcast on the Rehoboth Social Network. And that's all you got to say.
Okay, so listen, everybody do that. And today,
please check out our podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network.
Yes, and you can also find us on the Full Send with Tom and Tiff.
Now that's a funny podcast.
Now that's, and we're going to try really hard not to completely do that podcast.
We may slip into a Full Send.
It's okay. So I have you here today, Tom, because a long time ago,
yeah,
when I was asking you about some of your favorite movies, you had mentioned There Will Be Blood.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
that's weird. That movie sticks with me for some reason. Our friend, we've been friends for a while, and you're definitely passionate about film. I'm not that passionate about film, but what I am passionate about is all of a sudden you'll see a movie that just sticks with you. And for some reason, that movie, I think, one, Daniel Day-Lewis is just an amazing actor.
He's the shit, man.
He's the shit.
He is the man.
And then and we have to look into this, because I felt like this was based loosely on a Rockefeller.
Yeah, and I have to admit, so I do apologize to the listeners if you're going to criticize me at some point. I don't have all the basic, well, I have the basic info, but I don't have that kind of info that you just said. I don't know.
Well, I don't think, I'm not sure if it was.
I don't
know. We brought
up
some trivia on the, we have a trivia screen up.
Let me,
chock full of info.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to do what I usually do, which is I'm going to give you some of the basic, you know, info on this film. The stats. As if it were baseball.
Stats.
Stats. Okay. There Will Be Blood. 2007.
Which, somebody asked me about that. How long ago was it? And I said, I thought it was like 10 years, but I guess it's even more than that.
It is. It's like a long time ago. 13
years.
I know. And it's directed by Paul Thomas Anderson and written by Paul Thomas Anderson. And it's based on a book by Upton Sinclair.
There it is.
Didn't know that.
More should be revealed.
More is revealed.
Does it say anything of whether it was based loosely on a Rockefeller?
I mean, that might be in the interesting trivia that you have there. You can look, take a look. So the
cast.
If
anybody knows that, reach out to us.
Please.
Send us out a little shout
please
out.
Please reach out to me.
You want a shout out?
I love you guys. Just reach out. So Daniel Day-Lewis, who else is in this movie? We've got Martin Stringer. I don't know any of these other people. Matthew Stringer, Jacob Stringer, all the Stringers.
Stringer family.
They're all the workers. Let's see. We've got, who is the kid? Why aren't they giving me that info?
Maybe it was just, maybe that's three versions of the kid.
Paul Tompkins, Dylan Frazier. I feel like the top creds have got to be Paul Dano. Anyway, look it up if you need to know more about the cast. Hopefully you've seen this movie. If you haven't, please watch it.
If you haven't, watch it.
Yeah, and to be honest, I love Daniel Day-Lewis, but I didn't, for some reason, I don't know why I didn't watch it way back in the day.
Well, I will tell you that I saw it.
How did you see it, Tom? How did it come into your life?
It's weird. I almost wanted to say Netflix, but I don't even think Netflix was around that long ago. So I'm not even sure.
By the way, I couldn't get this on Netflix. I had to pay for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I had to go onto Amazon. No, I did it on iTunes.
I think I watched it in one of, like, you know, Showtime or something like that at the time because I didn't rent it. I don't know. This is a movie that for some reason I ended up watching. I don't know. Sometimes I just watch a movie and it's awesome. And this was one of them. I hadn't heard of it. I just watched the movie. I think we watched it, one night. And it was awesome. I could not. First thing that hit me right away out of this movie was the music. And I always say that. It's done on a saw. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
Like one of those, a flat. You know, a woodcutting saw. You know, the kind that actually takes muscle. You go back and forth.
A little bit of that in there. Yes.
It's creepy.
It is creepy.
And then I think the story is just an interesting story. Fiction or not, this was going on.
Yeah. And I'm going to actually, now that you said that, let me read what they wrote as a description. A story of family, religion, hatred, oil, and madness, focusing on a turn-of-the-century prospector in the early days of the business. Now, that's the brief description.
Yeah.
There's a story line here that says it's the intersecting life stories of Daniel Plainview and Eli Sunday in early 20th century California. Presents miner-turned-oilman Daniel Plainview.
What year?
20th century, early 20th century.
Okay, so.
What year does that mean?
So what, like 1902?
I think it's, think about it, like, they're building, at the time, aren't they, like, building train tracks and, like, they're trying to connect things?
Well,
through the state still? It seemed like that was still going on if you look around the side stories of this.
Well, so Rockefeller was big into oil.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt was big into trains.
Okay.
And Rockefeller did not want to use Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to eliminate Vanderbilt, so he wanted to create a pipeline,
and
he wanted all the oil. And so, what he would do was he would get the oil, and we'll talk about that, how he does that. But then he started collecting all this oil, and then to move the oil, he would have had to have used a Vanderbilt character, I guess,
okay,
who was in charge of the. You know, Vanderbilt was all trains,
right?
Rockefeller was all oil, and. To eliminate that step, Rockefeller built pipelines. And that's really what this movie's about. You know, finding the oil, shenaniganing the oil from the people, and then pumping it.
Yeah. So I was thinking about the movie. I always like to look at movies in terms of themes because I like to compare movies to life.
Mm.
And so greed is a big theme in this film.
Well, and religion.
Religion, greed. I love that they said madness because he really does go into madness. Like, it's crazy what's going on with this guy.
Well, and I think what drives him into the madness is a resentment against the guy who plays kind of like the local pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back in those days, you know, religion, I mean, it was scary. People were very afraid of religion. And if you didn't do certain things, what would happen to you? I don't know exactly because I've never been that religious. But
yeah,
in the movie, it's clear. Whenever, like, something pops up, whether it's an oil rig brings people to work on it. Next thing you know, they build a general store. Next thing you know, they build a church.
Right.
And then the people kind of live there. So, soon to be followed by McDonald's. You know McDonald's?
Which is also a religion for many people.
Well, when McDonald's was created, that guy built McDonald's wherever there was a church.
Oh. Oh, look at you.
Little side.
Wow, sidebar. And there's a movie about McDonald's. I never saw that one. Maybe we should have seen that too. That could have been a good combo feature.
He would only do make people part of the McDonald's family as long as the wife worked up front and the husband worked in the back.
Well, let's think. Sorry. Here. No, I love it. I love all this stuff. I was kind of trying to find some stuff. It's supposed to take place around between 1898 and 1927.
Yeah. So, and the one thing the battle is that Daniel Day-Lewis's character, he wants the oil, and the priest, he wants to be paid. He wants money, contributions, and Daniel Day-Lewis wants him to get on his side and help him make the people want to give up the land and the oil.
Right.
And he wants a cut.
So let's go back to the beginning of this. Do you remember the movie that well, or should I try to walk us through it a little bit?
I do remember it.
So in the beginning, we see him and a bunch of guys trying to drill for oil in this very kind of like specific way. And you're just kind of watching them do this. And then you see him quickly coming up with a better idea of how to do this. So you're kind of seeing him as a bit of like an engineer where he's like, you know, I have a better idea. Mm-hmm. He's drawing out the papers and we're watching the hard work, or at least like how treacherous it is for them to kind of go into the ground and like try to do this, which is really difficult actually. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So pretty early on, someone dies.
Well, a rig blows. Rig blows up.
Pretty graphic.
Yeah, and his son.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things in this movie. His son loses his hearing during the explosion.
Well, and that happens later. But first off, the guy dies, and this guy has a child. It's not even his kid. And then he takes ownership of this kid.
Oh, really?
You don't remember that from the beginning?
No.
I said, I popped this on Tom today, so he wasn't totally prepared for this, so I'm just kind of jumping in.
That wasn't his son?
Wasn't his son. So that's like a big piece, too, is he... And I think they show it, and my interpretation of that, the way it went down, is that he actually really cares about this guy that died. Like, they're kind of all friends. And the son, he feels for this baby. It's like a baby, basically, at the time. And then he takes over taking care of the baby. Next thing you know, you see the kid as a kid. So you already know that he's been taking care of this child now as his own child. But what becomes clear pretty quickly is that he is kind of using this kid.
Oh, my, absolutely.
You know, and this kid doesn't even know, by the way, that that's not his father. He thinks that is his father. And up until towards the very end of the movie, I don't know if you remember the end scene, but there's a scene where he says, I'm not even your father, you know, and he's like, what? And it's like the first time
just
he's ever
heard
that.
Just a bastard in a basket.
Where are the lines? I know, we need the lines.
Bastard in a basket.
Oh,
nothing more than a bastard in a basket.
Oh, man, that's right.
Well, he totally uses them, and he uses them to manipulate people to get land and oil and rights. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the movie, he's taking the kid in like a stroller to house, door to door, talking about land and oil. And they're like, oh, my God, what a cute baby. They feel for him. They feel like his story, whether I don't know if he said his wife had died. I forget. But
they don't even, you know what I liked about this movie is they don't have to feed you the information. They're not like, you're stupid. They're just like, this is what he's doing now. And you kind of just have to go, all right, I understand that. That makes sense. It's good. There isn't a lot of dialogue sometimes. It's just like the kid is there and he's having these conversations, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, he uses the kid until the kid isn't usable anymore because he gets hurt, loses his hearing, goes crazy.
I know. That's so fucked up, too.
It was, that movie, it was heavy, man.
It is. So, and then now I'm kind of going all over the place, but in your memory of this, like, what do you think affected you the most, at least the themes in it? Like, because I was saying, my first reaction after I watched it was like, dude, that was dark. And, like, it
bastard
was kind
in a
of
basket.
Upsetting. Like, there was no redeeming moment. It just went from bad to worse, and then it just ended.
The first thing that I think about when I saw this movie was just, I couldn't take my eyes off of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Are you in love
just,
with him?
I love him. No, of course I don't love him. But I'm an actor. I'm not an actor. I love actors.
You're
I love
an actor.
Acting. You know,
do.
We talked about the Joker. I couldn't just take my eyes off of Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, he was just an amazing actor. And I felt the same thing with Daniel Day-Lewis. I thought he was great. And then the other part that stuck out was nothing more than a bastard in a basket. It's like that wrapped it up.
He
had nothing. He had no feelings for anything else other than getting as much oil and money and greed and just a self-centered, gluttonous, me, more, me life. And in the end, he ended up just a monster, right? Just a drunken,
disgusting,
gluttonous.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting movie because it's not a feel-good film, really.
No.
Not at all.
No, it's a movie you go, wow, that's some great acting.
Now, let me ask you this. So, being a guy.
That's me.
I was wondering this, being a woman watching it, if there was something I was missing about like the way men relate to the way men are. At least like some of the themes around how men are in this film. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just making that up. But like, I felt like, I think I have another friend that my buddy Tyrese, he also loves this movie.
I
think that like, if I were to ask a bunch of guys if they liked it, and then I watched it, but I think most women would be like, that movie was annoying. I did not like it. But guys relate to it. I think guys relate to it differently. And I was wondering if you think that's true.
Well, I think in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the role of a man and the role of a woman were a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was what it was.
True.
Men kind of did the work and women kind of cooked and did the household stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it was. I mean, I clearly wasn't around then. So in that fashion, yeah. I mean, it was a bunch of egotistical men.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in the movie, the one guy, it becomes his own, like Daniel Day-Lewis's mission to just screw this other guy over. You know, not the priest, but the other guy that kind of wants the land.
Yeah.
And I think, maybe you remember, did Daniel Day-Lewis want to buy the land? And the guy said no.
It was something like what I noticed is in the beginning, he's got to kind of fight for his place a little bit. And then you get the sense that he's gotten some presence at this point where he's actually been able to like buy some land and start doing this, you know, piping that he wants to do and oiling. And, he's not getting a lot of pushback because I think what he's doing is he's in a lucky situation where he's approaching places that are poor who have been like having a shit time of their situation. And they're just like happy to take money of any sort and kind of be like, yeah, great, you know, do it. And so he's getting pushback where the guy, I think he just wanted to meet with him in person. He was like, come on over and have a conversation with me. And he's like, you know what? He can come back to me, you know, like screw that guy.
Like he's up to something.
He's like his ego is building and mm-hmm. more that it gets bigger. He's refusing to even like do the simple, what do you call that? You know, when you're just like talking to someone, the nice casual pleasantries kind of, that people do just as part of business. He's like, fuck that. You know what? He can either come over here or get the fuck. I'll deal with that later.
Well, and I wonder what it was like, you know, to, you know, we look at how we live now. Our lives are pretty, you know, if someone doesn't want to get a haircut, you know, another haircut will come along. But back in those days, you know, everybody was out for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, even how he manipulates the land from the people.
I know.
It's ruthless.
It is.
And then and I think at the one point where he comes back, like the one guy wouldn't sell his land. And so he's like, fine. And then when he comes back, he goes, I stuck it in the ground like a straw and I sucked up all your oil.
That's right.
You've got nothing. You're worth nothing. And the guy's like, what?
You know, like I went around the side.
Yeah, he just went around the land and then he stuck a drill and sucked all his oil out and made his land didn't have any value. I don't know. It's a multifaceted movie for sure.
It's got so much awesome stuff. So now I want to talk about more scenes because I love this
show. Can I just say one thing?
No, say whatever you want. Yeah.
The other thing about that movie is it goes like these long periods with really not a lot of talking.
I know.
It's music and sound and the picture kind of tells the story. I think that whoever the director or whatever it was, he tells a lot of the story without any words.
He's awesome. Yeah. And this movie is, they call it like a masterpiece.
The relationship that he has with his, you know, fake son and that when he goes deaf is so touching because just like when he puts him on the train and then he gets off, thinks he's going for a trip.
That was so hard to watch.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God. It's just like, there was barely any talking, you know, and
yeah, and then
what do you have, like his assistant sit on the train with him and then he just walked away?
He
and
just
he goes,
walked off.
Hey, what's going on here? It was
crazy.
Heartbreaking.
It was crazy. But then later he wants him back so badly. And even that scene is done in the same way where he, you see them bring the kid, time has passed, and it's like way off in the distance. And the camera just stays. It's so crazy. You're not with them at all. You see him walk all the way over there and they have this moment, but it's like they're tiny. Mm-hmm. And you're not even with it. You just watch him hug him and it's like he's...
But you know what's going on.
Yeah, but you're like really removed from it. It's really interesting the way he would do that.
And when he... Like the relationship that he had with that boy, you would think, you know, as a father of boys, you know, when like your kid gets hurt, you pick him up and you kind of wipe his face off and, you know, you all right? You know, there's no... You can tell when someone's like a fake parent or like an acting parent.
Right.
But he... that movie, man, he like... When his... At one point, he's like, you know, he wipes his kid's face and he just like pushes his hair out of the way.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
You all right? And it's like, meh. And he's like, and then he just like picks him up and just hustles him out. Like I feel like that's exactly how I would treat my son.
Right, yeah.
If he was hurt. So I just, sometimes when I see that kind of acting, I'm like, I cannot believe how heavy that is.
He's incredible. Yeah.
He's incredible. Yeah. And the kid was incredible.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, he's greedy for money, but. And they don't make it totally clear, but the first time you see this kid preaching, it's crazy.
Mm.
Do you remember the scene?
Yeah.
He's going over to the woman and he's grabbing her hands.
Yeah.
And he's like putting them on. It's like really fucking nuts.
Well, and we forget
what crazy.
We forget what a huge role the church played in people's lives. I mean, you know, 50 years ago, they talk about how the Catholic Church ran the town. You know, the Catholic Church was the boss, really.
Yeah.
And I can imagine in 1902 or whatever, it was even worse. And we still, you know, whether you believe or not, but we were definitely frightened. You know,
people had literally the fear of God. You know, you were a God-fearing man or woman. That's like what that word means, right? It's like, that's just the truth. And so that also was like a big part of this, I think, was that the times, you know, like people had nothing. They had sickness. They had sometimes no food in certain places, you could tell. And it was tough times. It was very tough times.
And then you want to talk about this brother that he meets? His fake brother?
The fake brother.
You remember he meets the guy?
Oh, my God. That's nuts. I forgot. Yes. Yeah.
Remember he meets the guy?
Yes.
And he acts like he's his brother. And he's like, they're tight.
Yeah.
And then he just ends up shooting him in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Oops.
I know.
Sorry.
No, well, we spoil every movie on here. I tell everyone knows that.
But he shoots him right in the head, and you're like, oh, my God. And it's just this, I don't know if he, like, has this kind of thread of passion or, like, compassion, maybe compassion, but then just does cold-hearted shit, like, leaves his son on the train while the train drives off.
Yeah.
Kills that guy, shoots him in the head. Remember, he's like...
It's like he reacts very harshly to things, and... That's why it's weird, because he does devolve in such a way that he just gets worse and worse in some ways. But then I think what they're trying to show you is there's these moments where it's almost like there's a glimmer of hope for him to shift, you know, like he's got the kid and now like he's showing love and compassion and he cares about something that's not money. But then something happens and of course, you know, the kid loses his hearing and he gets frustrated. And so he just fucking leaves the kid, you know? And I think when that guy shows up, it's another moment for him to like have some more hope about himself. That's like, oh, I have a brother. Oh my God. Like, this is great. You know, like he's kind of excited for a moment. You get the sense that he's cool with it. Then he finds out this guy's like a total faker.
He's a faker.
And he's frustrated again. So his reaction is to just kill it off. You know, like he makes these hard cuts with people and things.
But doesn't he like figure it out like after they get to the ocean? Remember they're digging the pipeline, they get to the ocean, then they jump in the ocean and swim together, and it's like this real special
That's
moment.
That's a really beautiful scene.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, well, I think in that scene, he's noticing that he's hearing something that doesn't sound right, and then they go out to like a bar that night.
What was that restaurant again or something?
And they go out, and then later that night is when he just offs him, because he's like, he picked up on something he said that didn't make sense.
I think the guy wanted more money or something. He's like,
He suddenly distrusted him, and it was, like, sad.
The other thing that I kind of shines a little light is just what a rough world it was back then. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no, people would kill anybody. They didn't, there's no hesitation. You could go out one day and just be killed.
Yeah, there's no social media.
Not a law. Not a lot of laws.
There's no security cameras that are going to catch you.
Just bury you. You're gone.
Yeah, that's it. Done.
I wonder how many people, wonder how many people just died.
I'm sure a lot, man. Think about the Western times. Like, it's crazy. People are just killing each other. It's crazy. So I want to get personal with you, Tom.
Okay.
I love to see. I think it's interesting. You can make jokes. I think what happens to me sometimes is I watch a movie and it's surface for me. Like, I can see the basic reason I'm kind of into it. But then later I find there's something about me or about my life that I think it kind of hit me in a way, and that's why it hit me. You know, like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe just like the themes in it or the concepts, or maybe even just something I didn't think about right away, but that's why it like got me. Cause I was like, oh man, you know, I understand why that fucked me up now. You know, like, I went through a period where this was something I could relate to. Do you think there's anything deeper in this movie for you that you connected to, or is it just, you just liked it and it was good acting? I mean, you can be honest. I don't care.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious.
What I picked up on is that unattended, we will live a self-centered life.
Okay.
It's a greedy, gluttonous lifestyle. And I can only imagine back then it was even 10 times worse because you had a lot more to fight for and a lot less to lose, really.
Yeah.
And how much the religion, you know, people like that, they had to kind of give in to the priest. You had to have some humility. I feel like a priest really played that role in creating humility in people. Like,
yeah,
listen, this is what you need to do or you're going to go insane. And he fought the priest, and the priest was corrupt too.
Well, that's the other thing too, is he was also greedy.
Yeah, he was greedy.
He was greedy for being something important in the community, you know, being a preacher that was like, you know, big, a bigger preacher with a bigger church of people. And he wanted to, you know, he had his own ego issues.
Well, and I think but it's a self life. And
this
kind of showed that, you know, unattended and you will go insane. And that's kind of what ends up happening to Daniel Day-Lewis. He puts greed over his son. He puts greed over that guy that acts like his brother. He could have been like, listen, I know you're not my brother. Just beat it, man. But he killed him. He's like, I don't want any of these secrets out from this guy. I don't want any.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, it just kind of wraps it up. He's an insane drunk living in a mansion, writing checks, and he doesn't give a
shit. It's so bad.
He doesn't give a shit about anything.
No, he doesn't.
I think that happens still today. We don't see it like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are so driven to make money, so much money. And listen, we know you need money, but so much money. I think it just, in the end, just makes you insane.
Yeah, and I like that you said isolation a bit, because I think that his first idea to go after money or this idea of oil is because maybe he thinks by doing these things he will gain more of the other. I think that's the idea, is like, it's you're such a low point when you're living a certain way. And I mean, listen, the guy is successful. That's the crazy part. Like, you know, in the beginning, he's like basically living in a backpack and like these people have nothing. And they're like, you know, and then as he goes along, you see his outfits start to change. You know, he's definitely gaining more.
Yeah.
But he's not connecting with anybody. You know, he doesn't do that. And so he's just so, like you said, he's so focused. It's that focus of like, this is all I care about. This is all I need to do. And then in that process, he's got nothing except money, which doesn't serve you at all. You know,
it doesn't, just brings more headaches.
Yeah. And all the people he could have had are now long gone. In a sense, emotionally. I mean, he's, even though the son kind of sticks it through towards the end of the film, at least, they're not tight.
No,
they're a mess. And
he's
so
like, basically, what do you want from me? That's when people in the end end up like that, that's all they think about. Everybody, just people just want something from me. What is it you want?
Well, that's what he created.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what he did to everyone else.
See, that's the other part. I don't know. You know, I say that if this is basically loosely based on a Rockefeller, I don't know if Rockefeller ended his life like that.
I don't know. I don't
drunk
know.
Drunk and in a mansion. I don't think that's how he ended his life.
Maybe not. I don't know. But this movie was up for 8 Academy Awards, I can tell you that. Mm. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
I think what I took most is just the see, my problem with movies is when I go to a movie, I'm like, okay, this is a movie of acting. So right away, I'm going to be looking at the acting. It's just, you know, I'm not like, oh my God, mm-hmm. it's so cool. I'm like, how is the acting? Am I being, because I'm that guy that if it's not good acting, all I do is go, that's not very good acting.
I know, and that's not to break into this movie 1917, but I couldn't connect to it because I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like the actors were blowing me away. It was just like a lot of, you know, visual stuff that was cool, but I just, and everyone's disagreeing with me, so that's a whole other podcast. Tom, I just did something while you were, sorry, I'm not that I'm not listening, but I wanted to give you info that I just found. So this, the Standard Oil was founded by John D. Rockefeller in 1870 and entered California in 1900. Seven other companies were already flourishing in California at the time, including Union Oil.
So it could have been loosely based on Rockefeller.
I think it is.
Standard Oil. It's funny in the beginning of the movie when they start finding oil and they used to just kind of collect it and they dig holes in the ground and just make big oil hole, put like big pools of oil and then pump it out into barrels. But when he decided to start piping it, that was cool. Remember, he gets a stake, tink, 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 get out his little...
I know,
and
man.
And then just go off and they would come across a house. Can we... run a pipe through your land and
I can't believe they even were able to do it. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's kind of like one of those things. It's kind of like Google getting data. You know, all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. When did you get all of our data?
I know. It's like, what happened over there?
Hey, mind if we take
you
your data?
You didn't ask little, Jesus about that.
Oh, just a little data. You're like, oh, yeah, I don't mind if you take a little data. No, they got all of it.
I have one other funny thing I just read. It said, The milkshake line was actually said by Edward Doheny in a 1924 court hearing. So there's some history behind that quote.
If you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, there it is. That's a straw, you see. Watching. And my straw reaches across the room. And starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Well, what's happening at the end is that horrible scene in the bowling alley.
Disturbing.
What, by the way, what is happening with the bowling alley? Where did that come from?
That's what rich people had back then. Bowling
just
alleys.
A freaking bowling alley? I don't understand what was happening with the bowling alley. And he just is drinking a milkshake, the preacher guy. And so at some point, he's, drink your fucking milkshake. Like, there's so many weird things that happen. The violence between the men. We do have to talk about the slapping scene. I mean,
okay.
We have to.
The slapping, that was a
that shocking.
That was in the bowling alley, right?
That was actually before. The bowling alley is when he throws, that's at the end, where he throws bowling pins at him, and then he just murders him with a fucking bowling pin. First, he's throwing the bowling ball at him. But the scene... the scene happens actually early on after he meets the preacher guy and he, they have disagreements, but they're already doing the oil thing. Anyway, I don't know what happens. They get into some kind of altercation outside and he starts slapping him down and to the point where he puts his face in the mud and he's picking the mud up and he's shoving it in his face. It's like, really, it reminds me of like being a kid and like, you ever like... in the
like
winter, like somebody like whitewashes you with like the snow. Have you ever, sorry, only me.
Yeah.
That might have been only me. I don't really know. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, it's, but at the same time,
oh,
it's very,
man.
Not a lot
so
of talking.
Upsetting.
The acting does the talking. Mm-hmm. And that's what I took mostly from this movie. Any movie like that, and they just stay with me. You know, any movie that has that kind of acting in it, like The Joker. The Joker was brilliant.
It is brilliant. Maybe we should talk about The Joker. You want to talk a little bit about The Joker?
I love talking about The Joker. I mean, The Joker was a lot of controversy around The Joker. The biggest thing that I thought about The Joker was just people with mental health getting left behind.
Yeah. That movie's got a lot of heat.
Why?
Just, you know, people either hating it or loving it kind of thing.
Well, and we...
which I've been annoyed by, to be honest with you.
We were podcasting when that movie came out. We were doing the Full Send podcast. And remember all the people that are all upset about it? Remember we were getting text messages and stuff? My friend's wife's like, that was this, blah, blah, blah. And I go, I thought it was just great.
I mean, listen, he got the freaking Golden Globe for best actor. So talk Thank about great you. Performances.
Remember back in the day when they used to have like the kaleidoscope film thing and you put the little things in and you kind of roll it and it would have a little bit of motion picture?
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
They weren't
thing.
Critical of that.
I know.
I mean, what? That's what movies are about. It's just to be entertained. When does mm-hmm. it become like all of a sudden we have to have an opinion? Like the movie is our is kind of our life that's going on.
Well, I find it interesting. You know, what's cool is, and I'll say this. So obviously The Joker's a new movie. It just came out this past year. Now it's past the past year that it
yep.
just came out.
Yep.
Totally different take, totally different, not part of the Marvel blah, blah, blah.
Nope.
Group of movies.
Fresh
and
look.
Yeah, and so it I think it, you know, there's a lot of reasons the film people, the film nerds, not that I'm dissing my people, but they just, you know, they like to nitpick it apart because anything that's about a comic book character or a Marvel, you know, a character from that genre of things, people have a lot of ideas already about what they know. And so, but they always are redefining these things anyway. How many Batman movies have there been? How many freaking Spider-Man movies have there been?
Well, I thought the movie did a great job answering a couple questions, like what happened before. Yeah, man. I mean, we've seen Batman where his dad and mother get killed right,
right
at the beginning.
Right.
I thought it answered a lot of questions. But don't you hate when you're like, love something and then 100 people hate it? And you're like,
yeah, I do.
Does that make me like stupid? Or like, am I missing something? Or
I think we like to
all
agree.
Am I so simple-minded that
well,
I can't?
No, no. I think people like to like be on the same page, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes you cut your hair and you like, you know, I love my hair. And everyone's like, I do too. Like you just want. It's,
I do
it's,
think you
yeah.
can kind of lay the foundation for like people say, oh, you got your hair cut. And I go, I love it. And they go, oh, yeah, I do too. Thank you. And then or if you say, I don't know. And that just opens the door
yeah, yeah.
for a bunch of huffle, fluffinuffle
yeah.
opinions.
Well, maybe this is different because it's like film or food or, but I mean, you like, some people like something, some people hate something. So
well,
it is what it is.
It's annoying when I love something and then I get this text about how it's clearly this and all this. And then you're like, oh, I didn't see all that. I just thought it was a good movie.
Well, I thought he was amazing. Just like Daniel Day was amazing in that other movie. Like the way he pulled you into his performance was like, I couldn't stop watching him. I didn't even care. I was just like,
well,
he's
Daniel
so
Day,
great
Lewis,
to watch.
Did you see My Left Foot?
Oh, my God. That movie's incredible.
That movie's incredible. Anything that he does is incredible.
I know. I even love the movie about the, what was that? The designing, where he designed the outfits.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What movie was that?
Hold on now.
You can put that out there. We're like, oh.
Hey, man, I don't know right now.
I'm designing.
I'm going to tell you, though. It just, it like was up for, I think that was also up for an Academy Award.
Well, that's how I became
that
a big fan. That's how I became a big fan of
Phantom
Walking.
Thread.
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know if I saw that one.
That's excellent. That's another twisted movie where he kind of goes a little wackadoo.
Okay.
It's
I'm
twisted.
Have to check it out.
Lincoln. What did
oh,
you think
yeah.
of Lincoln?
I thought he played an amazing Lincoln.
Amazing
Lincoln. I knew
Lincoln.
And he did a great job.
Lincoln and him were like.
Yeah, me. I remember
peas in the pod.
My last day with Lincoln, I said, what's up, Lincoln? And he said,
right,
not much.
Right,
and I said, all right, I'll catch you tomorrow. And then he didn't show back up. And,
and then he got shot in the head.
And then Daniel Day-Lewis showed up. I said, you're just like Lincoln.
Yeah.
I love it.
He is Lincoln. Maybe he's, you know,
well,
reincarnate.
If I remember, I think he like went into like the role of Lincoln. Like he lived like Lincoln or something. He
I think just, he's pretty method, I would bet.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he's super
well,
method.
Well, and that's how I got into Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, he... I mean, the first movie I saw that he
mm-hmm,
did was
mm-hmm.
Hold the Line, Draw the Line,
Walk
the
Line.
Sorry.
However you want to do it.
No, the first movie I think
it?
I saw him was in, what he was in was Gladiator.
He's great.
And the first thing I thought was, he got a cleft lip.
I know. You think this is like a thing, right? That
well,
he still was, he's got family, man. River
if
Phoenix.
If I had a cleft lip, I'd be like, I can't be an actor.
Well, he had River paving the way. Do you
yeah,
know
see,
that?
I'm not. I think. I don't.
You don't think that's association?
I was not like a. Oh my God, River Phoenix is
well,
amazing.
Well, you weren't a girl.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you were hot for him, that's if that's different. But was he a good actor?
Amazing.
In what?
Everything. Have you seen River Phoenix act?
No.
I'm gonna give you some good ones.
Okay.
Later. But let's get back.
How many movies was he in?
Are we going to get into River Phoenix
now?
No,
we're not.
Let's keep it. We'll do it. I'll do another episode where I talk just about River Phoenix movies.
Okay,
why not? He deserves it. He does. Well, one thing I will, to get back on some kind of quick topic around the themes in this film that have made everyone Looney Tune, mental illness, violence. There's a lot of political shit in this film because there's a lot of themes around, or not themes, but they definitely are nodding to the fact that politics, people that are politicians who are only caring about the rich, totally discarding the poor, because there's, you know, that whole thing with the social worker where he goes in and he gets his medication and he has this like meeting with her. And then at one point she's like, they cut all the budgets. I'm sorry. I can't, there's no money for your meds anymore. So you're off your meds. So they're definitely making a statement about that, saying like, as the rich are getting richer, the people on the fringes are getting discarded. And this is now creating a scenario where they can kind of rise up and revolt, you know, and he becomes the poster boy of crazy to say like, fuck these people. That's kind of the Joker in a sense. But I think that piece they added to this movie that was not in the comic story. And actually they made up the whole story because there is no background on the Joker. That's all been made up every time in movies. They just make it up. Because there's nothing, they decide to come up with.
It's just a character, right?
So they just came up with the background on him because they don't even know. It's just whatever you want. So that's what they played around with.
Well, and I
thought was super cool.
Yeah, and I don't think that they've ever said earlier in any Batman that the Joker killed Bruce Wayne's parents.
No, so they added that, but I thought that was slick. I thought it was a pretty cool idea, actually.
Damn right.
Yeah, so if you guys want to argue with me, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Message argue. Me.
Send her a message.
Yeah, come on. And also De Niro's in this, which is cool.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like De Niro? Tell me.
I don't like De Niro.
Yeah? Why? Why don't you like him?
Because I'm supposed to. I'm sure he's great back in the old days. I didn't think he was great in the movie. That's the only part of the movie I didn't really care for.
Really?
The one part I didn't care for when he gets a hold of Bruce Wayne's son at the fence, which I thought was bizarre.
You know, did you?
Yeah, because it's like this huge mansion, giant fence, and then right up to the street, and then there's like his son playing. Like the house is, what, a mile away? And there he is by the fence. I thought that was a little predictable.
And he's like in a suit, which is even weirder. He's like, what kid is hanging out just out in the weird yard with a suit?
And then I think the dad comes up, doesn't he? He comes walking up.
It's like a guard.
Or assistant, yeah.
It's like a guard.
I thought that was weird. And then I thought, I didn't like that he killed Johnny Carson.
De Niro?
Yes! Can we say that was loosely based on Johnny Carson?
It's probably, well, any host that, I should get Robin here too, but they kind of pulled some things from other movies. There's a movie called The King of Comedy, which is a Scorsese film. Did you ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Do you remember it at all?
Could have.
It's fine. I'm
afraid if I say yes, you're gonna like ask me a bunch of questions.
I don't care. I don't remember it much. I did see it a very long time ago. It's basically like about a guy who wants to be like a TV have a TV show, like a late night show. And Jerry Lee Lewis plays a late night talk show host. De Niro plays this kind of crazy guy living in his mom's basement, pretending to be like a talk show guy, okay? Like, hey, everybody. And he's kind of a comedian. He's trying to be a comedian. So a lot of people said that Todd Phillips or whatever, you know, that he stole this concept and like put that into the Joker, because you know how he's trying to be a comedian. And some of those things where he kind of comes out is a bit of a nod to this movie, if you in a sense, where this guy's like kind of, you know, a little bit unwell, that he thinks that he can do this. And in the movie, The King of Comedy, De Niro, who plays this crazy guy, kidnaps Jerry Lee Lewis, who's the talk show host, and then like it just goes from there. But
it's Jerry Lee Lewis, the musician?
No, Jerry Jerry Lewis.
I'm like,
oh my god, Jerry Lewis, not Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis, the guy.
I don't know
like,
why I said that.
He plays with his foot.
Oh my god, I'm getting old, man. I just said that.
Is it Jerry Lewis?
It's Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis.
He does a telethon.
Sorry, everyone. What?
The telethon guy?
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the story of that. So it is interesting that De Niro plays the talk show host.
Yeah.
So And of course he gets killed, which is the, I guess, the real violent part that everybody freaked out about. What did you think of that scene?
I didn't like it. And I thought the ending, I just didn't like the ending. I thought that.
You didn't like the ending?
Well, I didn't like that. I don't know why. I thought, you know, I was kind of, if I was rooting for, I thought I would have liked to have him come out and like really been funny and like kind of killed it and not get all like defensive and kind of start bickering back and forth. Cause is that kind of how it ended? They were fighting a little bit. He's
well,
like,
I mean,
he's coming out, this guy.
Yeah.
And then he was kind of bombing. I don't remember.
Well, his plan is to really do this, you know, is he's decided it's over for me. I'm going to fucking kill this guy. I'm going to kill myself. I don't know what.
Marty.
He's just.
Is
yeah,
his name Marty?
I think.
Morty.
Which, oh God, I cannot believe I can't remember names. I'm the worst right now. Are we just turning to Nan and Pop all of a sudden?
Nana.
What's the guy's name?
I thought it was Morty.
I'm going to the interwebs.
Morty.
Oh, my God. This is sad. Here we are.
It's not sad. I'm happy.
I can't even find the movie for some reason.
Morty. I think it was Morty.
Who are you talking about? Our guy? Joaquin?
No, it was the other guy.
Oh, you're right. I think it was.
It was Morty.
Was it?
Oh, Morty.
Yeah, can we do the laugh, please? Let's add that.
I don't think I can do
you
the
can
laugh.
You can do it. I believe in you.
I... No.
We're going to have to wrap this up soon, unfortunately.
We might have to just revisit.
I need to know. Murray Franklin, Arthur Fleck, the mother is Penny Fleck, blah, 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 lots of other people. I think the movie's really well done. I think all those scenes had to happen because it's supposed to be why he becomes the Joker. And mm-hmm. so that is why... He becomes the Joker. Is he really takes it too far? And then people decide, "You're our guy," and he's like, "All right, I'll go with it." You know, and this is the beginning of the crazy.
I think
that
it's
you
a
see.
Great foundation for yeah. creating a fictional character based on a guy. Like, if that was a true story, mm-hmm. that would be a good basis to build a fictional character from. Like, that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the fictional character that we've all kind of lived with, and now we create. That I mean I thought it was good but
I thought it was really I'll tell you why I liked it and this is my
remember Jack Nicholson as a Joker
he was pretty good.
Who was the Penguin?
Jim Carrey. No, Danny DeVito. Jim Carrey was the Joker actually at one point. Not the Joker, the Riddler. Sorry, the Riddler.
The Riddler.
Remember he was the Riddler. Yeah.
Who's your favorite Batman?
Oh man, I mean Christian Bale.
I like Michael Keaton.
Did you?
Absolutely.
Oh, the Ridge. He's kind of the Ridge. For us, I think.
It still reminds me of your brother jumping up. Yeah, Superman!
Well, and that's the other thing. I guess, I think people like to have fun in these movies, kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And this movie was an art piece. It was not fun.
It was heavy.
It's a heavy film. I mean, like, I was just sitting there going like, oh my God, I can't breathe. This is like so intense. And but I think that's what they wanted to do, is they wanted to make a real artistic film around a story like the Joker, and I appreciated it, so you know.
Well, my first
take.
Introduction yeah. to this movie was hearing people talk about the performance by Joaquin Phoenix was, you know, epic.
Yeah.
Like the Joaquin Phoenix's performance in this movie was above all others.
I totally agree.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm interested. Now I'm checking the movie out.
Yeah.
And all I could do was watch him.
Yeah.
And that's to me what a great movie is. I'm like, God, look at this guy. He's so good.
Yeah, and he had to lose a lot of weight.
Same with Daniel Day-Lewis. That's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what kept me into that movie. Because honestly, There Will Be Blood is not really a movie you're going to be like, oh, I got to see that. I don't even know
it's
how.
No, it's an exercise in, you know, someone deciding to play around with concepts and say, like, how can we show this in a way that's going to, like, really affect you? I mean, I was super affected by both of these movies. I did not walk out of there happy, but to me, that's like a well-done movie. If I walk out and I'm still brewing on that movie and I'm like just in it, like I feel it. I'm like, oh my God, this movie really, man, woo.
Well, put it this way.
That was intense.
I saw that movie 13 years ago.
Yeah. And you're still thinking about it.
I'm still thinking about it.
I know. It got you, man. All right.
Thanks for helping me think about it some more.
Well, we're going to, listen, this was kind of a impromptu episode.
We had a plan.
We kind of did, but we weren't responsible.
You weren't.
I wasn't at all. I will totally take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were going to do things. And we had a plan.
It's fine. I enjoyed it anyway.
That's why we don't get paid. Hey.
Well, listen, please send me your requests.
We're not charging you.
Yes. And if you want to come on the show, message me. If you want to talk about a film, message me. If you have, you know, any thoughts.
Any thoughts.
If you want to talk about your mom.
We have another podcast
okay,
for that.
Fine, that'll be another one.
We'll put you on anonymous.
Fine, we won't do that. But if you want to come on, seriously, if you love movies, you love local films, you want to talk about anything going on in this area, if you don't live in this area, I don't know, but please reach out. We will definitely have another episode for you next week. Hey, I actually would love someone to come to the movies with me for a Fresh Take episode. That would be amazing. And if you are interested.
Not you, Jenna.
If you're interested,
Jenna has a lot of.
I would love to have Jenna back at the theater. We had a good time.
Oh my god! I actually
she
really
brings
like
her sneak and snack, and it was like a giant bottle of seltzer. It was amazing.
I like.
I didn't know you could do that.
I like. You know what? I like when you guys
Success.
Do that. I like when you take that portable recorder into the theater.
I'm gonna do it again.
I like that. Yeah. I like when you guys did it, and I like when you and Nicole did it. I thought that was kind of cool when she's like.
I want you to come and do it with me, but you are like
locked down.
You are locked down, man.
Because I think my wife would think that I was doing it with you.
You're rich, Christine. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap
sure?
it up. I'm gonna end this episode. Sadly, but thank you for joining us.
Check out our Full Send podcast.
Yeah, and check out Tom and Tiff Full Send and all the other shows on the Rehoboth
and Jenna Anonymous
Social Podcast Network. Jenna, Anonymous, and many others.
Whoever else.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The soul of sin.
The Lord sometimes challenges us, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he does.
Daniel, yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
He completely failed to alert me to the recent panic in our economy.